Fashion Day. Rule over me and mine from some flowery seat in the south. Why shouldn't we rule ourselves again? There sits the only king I mean to bend my knee to. The King of the Podcastle!
Hello, once again, we are the Kings of the Podcastle. Welcome back. Episode 26, we're back. That's right, yeah. We'll explain why we had to take a day off later, but basically we were helping a friend. We're here, and we are ready to have some fun with you. We hope that you're ready to have some fun as well. I'm King Mike, of course, your gracious host. Joining me this week will be King Greg, King John, and
Hi.
Our lovely producer, King Zach.
He's so lovely.
He is. Look at him. He's got a great voice right now.
Yeah, he sounds like Kim Carnes today.
He sounds like he might have been getting a little bit too much C on the tonsils.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Easy.
You know what I mean. Of course, got to do all the preppage.
Hi.
Hold on a second. I've got dog problems. Buster, what are you doing?
Dog problems. The problem is the dog is in the Evans studio.
Oh, my God. He just feels like he's entitled to everything.
Well,
he
we usually let him climb up here.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't have his pillow. Your dog.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. The dog has entitlement issues.
He does have entitlement issues.
And whose fault is that, Mike Lee?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
check us out on Stitcher. Check us out on iTunes, of course. Go there, please, and subscribe. Give us a nice 5-star rating. We also want to pimp out some friends of ours. They are doing a podcast. Some fellow comedians have started another podcast. It's called The Inside Outcast. So make sure you check them out. Our friend Chris P. Weldon has done that, and he has agreed to graciously pimp our show as well.
Right on.
Yeah. So as soon as you're done listening to this episode, go check out Inside Outcast. You can find that on iTunes as well.
There are so many good podcasts out there, you really don't need to watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
Let's bring back the old school radio
days.
Yeah,
everybody's sitting around.
Amos and Andy and all those good days.
Get the family around the circle and sit down and listen to Kings of the Podcast. A little bit.
Yeah.
And try to put out the candle.
It's great. unbelievable. Let's talk about what comedy shows we did this week. Of course, King Devin is unable to join us today, but that's all right. We'll see him next week. He was the second place winner in the first joke-off at the Orlando Improv this week.
All right.
Yeah. He made it all the way through seven other people and ended up in the finals with a good friend of ours, James Yon, who works with Bonkers Comedy. So if you want to check out where the Bonkers Comedy is going to be, you can go to bonkerscomedy.com, and they've got venues all over the place. But James was in first and second place finals competition with Devin, and James just apparently, the guy was on fire.
Yeah.
And just blew up, and he was awesome. Devin unfortunately folded in the finals, but he still took home second, so
that's
congratulations.
Not bad.
Yeah,
That would have been awesome to see, because both those guys have worked close in comedy already.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And to see that go back and forth, that's just like watching a home run derby of two like New York Yankees or something, you know?
Right. It was a fantastic show, and Devin did really well, so congratulations to our big buddy Devin. And of course, I did last night, I did with James John again, Boardwalk Bowl over in East Orlando, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah. An amazing show. You guys, the next time
I'm
out
there. It went well.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
Did you have any jokes that bombed?
No, I didn't, actually.
Not one. There was not one lull in your set whatsoever.
No, not that I can think of. Why? Well, I mean, some jokes got bigger laughs than others. What are you trying to get at over there?
I'm just trying to figure out how it all went for you. That's
all. It went fine.
Okay. Wow.
I'm like getting the third degree.
Let's try to point out the negative there, buddy.
Yeah, no. Everything really did. It went well. I went up there and I opened the show. Well, I guess the host technically opens the show. He always does 10 minutes. And then I was the first guest spot. And then we had a second guest spot. Then the feature came up, and his name is Ali Flores, and Zach knows Ali personally, works with him, I believe, and that is one funny SOB.
Oh my God.
Is he?
Ali will have me on the floor. We'll just be sitting. Well, that sounded really bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was wondering what was wrong with your voice. Go ahead.
We'll be sitting in the green room, and Ali will just come out with something, and I will not stop laughing for 10 minutes. He's one of those people that can just make you laugh without even trying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I did. Now, Ali is Mexican, and I didn't realize
Ali
that.
Flores is Mexican?
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, no, I mean, obviously he's a Latin of some sort, Latino of some sort.
But he's from Mexico.
But he's
Muhammad Ali was black.
What?
What does that have to do with anything?
Does not matter.
Good story. Good story, Greg.
But anyway, so in my set, I did my bit about being from Oklahoma and growing up with Mexicans.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And I did. It's funny joke. Yeah. I'm starting to feel worse and worse about it, even though it gets huge laughs. And I say, I got in touch with my Mexican side. I did some lawn work. By the end of it, I had a beautiful lawn, 7 kids in El Camino, right?
Yes.
It always gets... Shut up over there. It usually gets a great laugh, you know, and the way I set it up and everything. And then Ali comes up and he's like, so I'm Mexican. So Mike, I'll see you in the parking lot after the show.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good. He was amazing. Amazing comedian. And if you want to check him out, you can go to Facebook and search for Ali Flores. Ali Flores. He is absolutely amazing.
So his first name is Ali, like Muhammad Ali.
No, his first name is A. Period. I don't know. He's using the power initial. You know what I mean?
Shouldn't it be Un Ali Flores?
yeah, I guess it should be. that was pretty bad. Yeah, but. I don't know. That's Mexican, Spanish.
Mexican.
It's Mexican.
That's Mexican.
You boys are speaking Mexican. No, Spanish for A, or, you know, like cup is cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know that.
Everybody's bombing on these Ali jokes. Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, he's a great comedian. And then James John was our headliner last night. It was a fantastic show. And the Boardwalk Bowl, you guys have got to come out and see this place.
Where is it?
It is amazing. It's over on East Colonial Drive in East Orlando.
Okay.
And you walk in, and it's like one of those bowling alleys. It's like also a game room and a pool hall. And they got a bar and everything.
Is it close to UCF?
Yes, it's very close.
Okay, so it's close to the job I just quit.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
Well, I put my notice in. It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Take notice. I'm leaving today, mother.
But it's amazing. Their comedy club is giant, and the place was packed. I mean, there had to have been 300
really?
People.
Really? So the bowling alley doesn't have any bearing on the comedy club, like with the noise and everything?
Whenever you're in there, it's like a completely separate room, and it's a giant room. It's cool. Really well done.
So can you like time your punchlines to where like you see the ball rolling down? It's like,
no.
Ha! And then all of a sudden the pins fall.
No, you can't do that.
Well, but was the crowd like mainly college students, or was it just
mixed?
It
was a bonkers comedy crowd, so it was mixed. You know, adults, little old ladies, everything. Yeah, everything was there.
Did you have sex with anybody last night?
Unfortunately, no, I did not.
Not even one of the little old ladies.
No, yeah, but I did have many proposals from them. But I was tired. You know?
So you didn't
really. Usually I'm all for that sort of thing.
So you
sex
didn't
with
find
old ladies.
A right. You didn't find an old blue hair and lube up her moth box. And
no. Moth box. Write that one down, ladies and gentlemen.
You heard it here first. No, I did not.
Lube down the old moth box.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So what about you, John? You do some trivia hosting this week?
I did some trivia hosting last night and Thursday, always at Star Island Resort. Thank you. And it's fun. It's during happy hour. You win some Star Island dollars. So basically, if you're running a bar tab, you could pay for it if you win the rounds. If not, it's still fun.
Gotcha.
You know? And it's usually kind of a family-oriented kind of thing. There's always families there at the resort. But there's singles, too. There's really loud poor people that when they lower their rates, they come on property and they and they let their rugrats run around and scream their fucking head off. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
And some of them will get into shouting matches during the trivia game, and I will have to quell the anger.
Yeah.
And go, hey, man, it's just a game. Chill.
That's actually how I lost my voice.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
My poor ass was screaming at John.
Yeah.
No, the answer's day.
But anybody can come
exactly.
and check you.
But yeah, anybody can come on property, Star Island Resort in Kissimmee on 192.
You're there Thursdays?
West Earl Bronson. Thursdays from 5 till 7, and from Saturdays 5:30 till 7:30, whatever.
Awesome.
So it's fun. Yeah.
Very cool.
Come on out.
A couple of upcoming dates for you. Let's see. I will be at the Elixir in downtown Orlando this Tuesday. I will be there. I think, are you joining us for that, Zach?
I don't know. I would like to, but I need to double check my schedule.
Okay, gotcha.
That is a great event.
It is a great event.
Jersey
Hot
Comic.
It's an open mic, of course, so anybody's invited. I don't know if you're down, angry, texted, but...
working out the new schedule at my other job. But I'm about to be full-time days, so comedy is about to be full-time again.
Be full-time again. That's good. And then, of course, next Saturday, there was no Sluice this last Saturday. If you noticed that we mentioned that. But there will be Sluice again next Saturday, of course. And then I've got some dates that are coming up where I'll be hosting. I'll let you guys know about that on Facebook and or on the next episode. Let's see. Oh, I thought that Zach was trying to tell me the time just now. Yeah. He's throwing me hand signals.
And 10 fingers.
He looks at me like, what is he doing? Oh, it's time. Okay, gotcha. Let's see. Let's move into some Facebook stories that I found. Let's see. There is a restaurant that's being sued over their tipping practices up in New York City. I don't know if you guys heard about this.
What happened?
Applebee's is included in this lawsuit. Olive Garden, Red Lobster. They're all being named in a lawsuit over alleged deceptive billing practices.
Aren't they all Darden restaurants?
A couple of them are, for sure.
Yeah, Red Lobster and Olive Garden are.
Basically, what they're saying is that the restaurants are putting an automatic gratuity of 18% added to the price of a meal, as well as a place to add an additional tip, regardless of the number of diners. An Applebee's check added a 17% automatic gratuity, saying it was payable at a guest's discretion. So you guys have seen this before. Now, Greg, you work in the industry.
Right.
We've all worked in the industry at one point or another. They add an 18% gratuity.
That's part. Usually a lot of places are 6 or more. Eight or more for the company I work for is 8 or more.
Right.
But if you go to South Beach, Miami, it's this. I don't understand why they're not suing people in South Beach, you know? Well, because that's how they're doing it there. The Carrabba's in South Beach, Miami now puts a automatic 18% on.
Right. Well, New York City law says that restaurants may not add surcharges to listed prices except for groups of 8 or more. So that's where the suit is coming from, because they were doing it for groups of 4, groups of 3. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a comedy club that we're all very familiar with that happens to have this practice for everyone, where they add it and then ask for another tip. And they're really sneaky about it, because they'll bring you the bill and it has the gratuity on it, but then they'll bring you their credit card receipt and it just has a total and another line for additional tip.
Additional tip, yeah.
And the credit card
pisses me off.
Yeah,
so
that's the
bad.
Big thing. And when I was in the restaurant industry, the restaurant that I worked for, they required us to explain that to the customer and say, look, I've already added 18% here, so feel free to leave more if you'd like.
That should be the way.
Feel like that you
well, they
have
don't,
to.
They don't do it at this comedy club.
No, they don't. And they don't do it at most restaurants, I've
That's
noticed.
Sneaky, and I call bullshit on that.
Yeah,
yes,
no kidding.
Well, it says it in big, bold letters at ours on the receipt. So, and then whenever you run the credit card, it says, you know, it has the 18% right there, and it says additional tip. Well, like the other day, I had those customers that were celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary. They had a great time, and they were like, we're going to leave an extra $20. And I was like, well, you've already got a tip on there. And he goes, I know, but you did a good job, and we had a good time and everything. And I was like, feel free to leave more if you like.
But do you not, whenever you leave that receipt or that bill for them and it's got the 18% gratuity, do you not pray to God that they don't see that and they leave a little bit more on accident?
Sometimes.
Exactly.
But my thing is, I've had the tables that, like, the lady was a stupid slutty whore cunt bitch, and she decided
Zach went for the buzzer. He was like, sure, it was gonna come. He was waiting for it.
But no, she's like, the lady will be like, I'm not paying this much tip, and like the bill, like for 8 people, the bill is usually gonna be over $100.
Yeah.
So 18%, I'm not asking a lot. I think it's only appropriate that you tip me close to $20. And anyways, the lady went up to my boss and she was like, I'm not paying this gratuity. And he was like, okay, I'll take it off, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the lady ended up leaving me $5 on $140 or whatever.
Wow.
And so I got on my knees and immediately prayed, since it was raining outside, that it was her husband, 3 kids, and then like two other adults.
Here it comes.
And I immediately hoped that they were going to roll over in a van accident. But here, check this out. I did not want the parents to die. I wanted the children to suffer immensely and burn to death in this ride so that they would have looked.
Oh, my God.
So that they would have been sitting there going, oh, my God, maybe I should have tipped more. Oh.
Because that's instantly what they would have said if that would have happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what they would have said. All right, so I think we can all agree that we hope that this lawsuit, that they win, because it's BS whenever the restaurants are trying to screw you over like that.
Absolutely.
Let's see.
But at the same time, if they're being so cheap, Maybe go get another job at another restaurant.
There you go.
Sure.
There's a wannabe glamour model who is 23 and claims that her 4,800, now this is over in London, so it's 4,800 pounds, which is what her Hooters are worth, are too big.
Wait, is that how much they're worth or how much they weigh?
That's how much they cost. No.
Her quarterback. 4,800 pound Hooters.
Yeah, 4,800 pound Hooters. Exactly.
Ooh, they man. Bring her in.
Yeah, read it like it says, Mike. Read it like it says.
All right. The wannabe glamour model who is 23 claims her 4,800 pound Hooters.
Holy cow.
They are too big.
And when I say holy cow, I say holy cow.
We're talking in financial value. It's London English money. Too big, and blames the medics for making her a laughing stock. She reckons she was rushed through a surgery process and wants compensation for clinical negligence and emotional distress.
Now, before you go on, I think it's worth bringing up, how did she afford to get the first poop job?
Yeah.
According to this...
She had it paid for by the National Health Service, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, she did. She had it paid for by the National Health Service. Yep. Yeah. She wants to, right now, she went from a 32A to a 36 double D and set about launching her career as a topless model. But unhappy, she is now considering another operation to reduce them.
So they're just too big. They didn't like the nipples aren't off center. And
No.
She like, just like when she big. Takes her shirt off, it looks like she's got Marty Feldman tits or something.
Looks like the tootsie pop out, you know? One, two, three.
Basically, she got them paid for by the, what did you call it, Zach?
By the government, basically.
National Health Service, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
The National Health Service. And now she's saying that she got targeted by online bullies, so she wants them reduced, and she wants to claim negligence. She says that she will, quote, get them for every penny that she can.
Mike, there's an old saying, tough titty said the kitty.
That's right.
Or in this case, tough titty said the kitty.
Yeah, what kind of government do you live in where you have the government paying for your boob job?
For your boob job. Now, England.
I can understand that, you know, if you got breast cancer or something like that,
right,
and it's kind of covered under your medication, you have to go get the mastectomy.
Or it's going to kill you.
Or it's going to kill you, and then it's part of, you know, rebuilding your life or whatever. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
But my self-esteem's low, and I want to be a topless model, so I'm going to go get some titty.
Oh, man. It just doesn't make any sense to
no,
me.
No, it sure doesn't.
All no, right, they should make her get stuck with it. Just say, here's a knife, lady. If you want to get them reduced, then go ahead.
Yeah, you lop it off.
Yeah, but I do want to see, before they get rid of them, I want to see those 4,800-pound boobs.
Yes.
And does a crane follow her around?
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. Before you start this story, I'm going to preface it with, I'm very afraid of what Greg's about to say.
Okay, this is...
Why? What did that do?
It's not what you... It's what you're going to do.
Okay. Wow, you guys know me better than I do.
It looks like the Pakistani government or people have a counterpart now to the Wonder Woman and Supergirl superheroes. They have created a superhero over there called the Burka Avenger.
The Burka Avenger!
God.
My God.
Yeah, but do you even know what she looks like with all that stupid ragtail?
Oh, head easy.
What? Right. I'm in my country. I can say whatever I want.
But there's still religious tolerance.
We can get ricin sent to us in the mail.
Oh, God.
Exactly. This Burka Avenger has come out now over there. She's a mild-mannered teacher with secret martial arts skills who uses a flowing black burka to hide her identity as she fights local thugs seeking to shut down the girls' schools where she works. Now, if you listen to the rest of the story, you'll see this is actually a good thing. The Taliban have blown up hundreds of schools and attacked activists in Pakistan's northwest because they oppose girls' education.
Right.
They've actually gone out... the militants sparked a worldwide condemnation last fall when they shot Malala Yousafzai, maybe? A 15-year-old girl school activist. They shot her in the head, and it was an unsuccessful attempt to kill her.
Yep,
so they
survived.
Come up with this superhero that goes out and fights these guys, these thugs that are trying to keep down the women's
the females,
education.
Yes, yeah.
So actually, it's kind of a good thing, right?
It is, it's pretty good.
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Oh, you can't raise one finger at me. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Now, I got eyes. I can see the clock. I'll look over there. Don't worry.
So she's basically like her arch nemesis is Taliban.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're anti-progression of women. That's why they make them wear all that stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of places they don't educate them. They keep them in the house. I think in some factions of the Muslim religion, the women have to walk behind the men. Just all kinds of outrageous, crazy stuff that does not happen here. So, yeah.
Well,
so
the action in the, cool. Yeah, well, action in the Burka Avenger cartoon series, which is scheduled to start running on GOTV in early August, is the first South Asian ninja who wields books and pens as weapons. So that's pretty cool stuff, right?
That is pretty cool.
Well, the pen is mightier than the sword. But I don't know if somebody throws a book at me if it's just going to piss me off if I have an AK-47.
Oh, boy. all right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some serious, more serious news. We're like full of it. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news this week.
Oh, we're full of it.
Are we ever? But we do have some fun stuff coming up with the Animal House, and there's going to be bull runnings closer to home than you think.
Oh, really?
Remember the Spanish?
And I automatically think that the king should be involved in this, but I'm getting roller skates.
we'll be back discussing that and more here on Kings of the Podcastle.
When you're sad and feeling blue, people making fun of you, don't get sad and come unglued. Just lay back, do what I do. I just rub my wing with Vaseline and stroke my long hard rod. And I do not fall over, I'm a human tripod.
We are the Kings of the Podcastle. Welcome back. Quick little message there. Wow. Break into an hardcore. Roar! I love the devil.
I love this song.
What is this?
I love that band.
It's Chop Suey.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Chop Suey by System of a Down.
Oh, wow.
That, okay. That dude's very talented.
They were an awesome band. They are no longer, but they were great. This was a great record. Toxicity.
I recognize it now. I recognize it now.
We've done this rejoin before, and you gave me the 5 minutes of singing along with it because I love it so much. You don't remember that?
No.
I sang to this. Yeah, I did this whole part.
All right.
We've done this bit before.
Great. Okay, let's not do it again then. episode 26, we're back. We took a little hiatus last week, all because we were helping a friend. And we're back here today, and we're glad that you are joining us. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. Of course, you can get us on the Beyond Pod app and, of course, the podcast app for your iPhone. And you can get all of our content at kingsofthepodcastle.com.
And we were on hiatus. However, there was a best of episode that was displayed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the best of episode. There was that if anybody's interested.
Yeah, of course. So let's see here. I've got an interesting little story here. You guys remember the tsunamis that hit Japan?
Yes.
Yeah. So apparently now, years later here, radioactive groundwater at the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant has risen to levels above a barrier that's being built to contain it.
Uh-huh.
Which is highlighting the risk of an increasing amount of contaminated water reaching the sea. Which is really bad for everybody, right?
Yeah, I saw this thing on Facebook that was saying that how it could reach the U.S. and everything.
Right. The TEPCO is the company that we're having. It's Tokyo Electric Power. They have been injecting a chemical into the ground to build barriers to contain the groundwater. So it's a chemical that literally solidifies the dirt so that the soil water, the groundwater, can't rise above it, right? Mm-hmm. And make its way out towards the ocean. But apparently the solidifying the ground is only effective from 1.8 meters. Below the surface, whereas data from the test well shows that the contaminated water has risen to 1 meter below the surface, which is looking really bad over there. So, still,
well, I'm just waiting for the Fukushima Diaries movie to come out.
Yeah,
you know, like, well, you remember the movie Chernobyl Diaries?
Yeah.
Well, this is the Fukushima version.
Can we please get a fail horn as soon as possible?
What? I wasn't even trying to make a joke. Just saying.
I'm with you, John. I just didn't think it was funny, but I'm with you on it.
The thing is,
did anybody see the movie Chernobyl Diaries?
No, I never saw it.
It was pretty good, actually.
It was a horror,
wasn't it? Chernobyl? Yeah. You remember the Chernobyl nuclear power plant?
Yeah, of course.
In Russia.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Actually, it was the Ukraine.
Right.
And that entire town had to get evacuated. And now it's just a ghost town because it's all radioactive.
I think that we should just start mailing them lizards from Florida since we have so many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And see if we can
get Godzilla.
Godzilla!
Godzilla!
Okay, you take our lizard, take her back to Florida.
John, John, you've ridden with me to my golf course job that I worked at.
Yeah.
And you saw what I worked really close to. The nuclear power plant over in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's in the distance. I mean, it's like actually within just a few miles, actually. And I asked my boss, I was like, well, what do we do? He said, well, apparently there's a gigantic alarm that can be heard from over 10 miles away.
Yeah.
And if something bad was to happen, that alarm goes off. Everybody that lives in this neighborhood, I guess, already has some kind of pamphlet that had been mailed out with if you're within 20 miles of it.
You know what to do.
Yeah, and I was like,
get out of here.
I was like, if I hear that alarm go off, I'm just going to be like, all right, I'm going to play a free round of golf before I
Well, if I hear that alarm, you know what I'm going to do? Godzilla!
Godzilla!
Godzilla! Oh, it's Godzilla!
You take a Lizzo back to Florida.
Is Matthew Broderick going to be in this one? Because they're doing a remake of Godzilla that they announced at Comic Con.
They are? I'm sorry.
Godzilla.
Okay, listen, how about this? How would you feel if you went to court and the judge gave you a ruling of you have to get a vasectomy?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why? Because you're producing too many offspring?
No.
Is this the Dugan family in Alabama, the 19 or 20 kids and counting?
Holy shit.
Oh, I have no idea. A high court judge is being asked to make legal history and sanction the first sterilization of a man in this country because it's in his best interest.
Because he's producing too many kids.
No, actually, that's not it. But that is a good guess. He's referred to as D.E. He's a 36-year-old. He has learning difficulties and already has a son with a girlfriend born in 2010.
Uh-huh. Wait, so the court is saying that he's literally too stupid to have kids?
Basically, yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. Yes. Finally.
Hold on. No, really? Okay, this is going to get into a serious discussion here. Basically, experts have assessed that DE is capable of consenting to sexual relationships, but he doesn't have the capacity when it comes to like making decisions about whether or not he should wear a condom, right? So he doesn't know the difference between
the time.
Right? Or birth control, anything. He doesn't know how to make that decision as to whether or not that's a good idea.
He doesn't know if he should fuck her in the ass or not.
The case has been going on. He has been effectively... While the case has been going on, he's been effectively prevented from having sex with his partner. The case has come before the courthouse, before the court, because of undisputed evidence that DE also does not have the capacity to decide whether or not to consent to sterilization, in other words, a vasectomy. Uh-huh. And the judge must make the life-altering decision for him. Now, the attorney here, this is the interesting...
the defense attorney?
Angus Moon, QC, is representing the official...
Wait. What was his name?
Yeah, what's his name again?
Angus Moon.
Angus Moon?
Yeah.
I want to change my name to that.
I like it. He's representing the official solicitor who was in the court to protect DE's interest. He told the judge that the evidence that DE wants a vasectomy is compelling and has nothing to do with eugenics. Now, eugenics, does everybody know what that is?
I have no idea.
Okay, I had to look it up myself and understand what eugenics was. Okay. Eugenics is basically the idea, the social theory of... only allowing certain types of traits and physical features to be reproduced.
There's been movies about that.
There's been a war over it called World War II whenever Hitler was trying to do the same thing where he was trying to come up with the super species, Anglo-Saxon, blah, blah, blah.
The Aryans.
Yeah. So
Hot shower.
So with that in mind.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
So with that in mind, they're saying it has nothing to do with eugenics, but doesn't it kind of have to do with eugenics? They're basically saying,
in a way, yeah,
they're saying this guy is he's got mental difficulties, he doesn't know how to make the decisions for himself, so we're gonna make sure that doesn't carry on.
How about the dumb bitches that he's getting with? Like, hello, I'm too stupid to close my legs.
I'm sure that the people that he's dating are not necessarily rogue scholars, you know. He's probably
hey, baby, what's going on? And they reply, yeah, yeah.
Yes. I have a wide tongue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I might as well say now, this segment will be offensive in many ways.
No, but seriously, they're going to put it all on him? Like, how about we just, like, they have him mandatory wear a t-shirt, like, I'm a dumbass and I don't know how to wear a condom.
Yeah, if he can't have consensual sex with a condom, if he's not smart enough to put a condom on, how is he smart enough to consent to sex? How is that not rape? In the United States, it'd be rape.
No, he knows. You can go and say, I'm going to have sex.
No,
and
if you
girl,
have...
the woman can say, okay, let's do it.
No, she'd say, okay, let's do it.
No, if the...
yeah.
If there's... if the person's mental capacity is not enough to consent to sex, that is rape. If they say yes, then
no,
just...
they're saying that he's fully capable. The attorney said he is fully capable of making the decision and consenting to having sex. Therefore, his partner is too. And they've been married and together for 10 years. So, of course, they're consensually having sex. The problem is they don't know the right from wrong issue and whether or not to wear a condom. That's
she
where
lets
they,
me have how dessert about if I eat a, my dinner.
How about he gets a vasectomy and the judge orders a cork up in her?
Oh, man, really?
Wow, dude.
What?
How is that wrong what I said? Everybody's putting the blame on the guy. This is the one time that I will actually put the blame on the pick of the litters that he keeps bringing home.
I will say that you do have a point. So why is he the one that needs to go to court and have a court ruling saying that he needs to have a
vasectomy?
Yeah,
why don't the both of them get their everything tied
up? Everything tied up. Yeah,
and then
exactly.
How about he come, that judge, you said this is the UK judge, it says?
Yeah.
Okay,
a lot of these stories are from Britain today. So
I know.
Really? I thought this was
what is
here
this, like
in America.
The Alabama of Europe now? I mean, come on. It's like, why don't they bring this judge over here and like he's the one that makes all the welfare decisions now? You know what I'm saying?
I think this is a perfect case for a court-ordered punch in the stomach.
Damn. Whoa.
No.
Zach, whoa. I like it.
I saw you go for it. Go ahead and hit it. Hurry.
Good.
No, but I'm kind of with Zach on that. Maybe he needs to visit the Kings of the Podcastle affordable abortion clinic.
Stairway to Heaven.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. We should play that for our next commercial, actually, now that that's been mentioned. Okay, I've got another funny little story here about secret photos. According to a new survey, 1 in 12 people admit that they've secretly taken a photo of an attractive stranger. Have you guys ever done this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we both have, dude.
Oh, dude, I've done
you
it.
You and I, you'll be like, yeah. I'm like, dude, take a picture of that chick so we can show it to our friends later.
Dude, if you've never been like walking through a theme park and saw a girl like bending over like with her like half of her butt sticking out.
Yeah, and the walnut sticking out the back.
Yeah. Nobody's ever done this before?
No.
I've never taken a picture.
Really?
Yeah.
You've taken mental pictures.
I've taken mental pictures, and when they're bent over, I might have grabbed them by the hips and dry humped them, and then ran really fast in the other direction. But I've never taken a picture.
I had a friend send me a picture just the other day. He was like, "Dude, check this guy. I'm out at this event or whatever," and he's like, "Check this girl out," and she was unbelievably attractive. And
yeah,
that was it. He was just saying, "Hey, check out the women that are here." You know what I mean? But the girl obviously didn't know that he. I don't see anything wrong with it.
So, no, it's a bachelor thing. But like, if you're in like a serious relationship, that could cause you to sleep many nights on the couch if you get found out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I have a friend who worked for a certain family-based cruise line, and she took it upon herself to create a hobby and a Facebook album called Fatties.
Oh, really?
And she would take pictures of fat guests and put them in an album on Facebook. And
really?
She got fired for it. They cited that as the reason for firing
her.
Well, yeah, if you're going to do that, I'm not talking about like creating a Facebook page based on the secret photos of hot women.
It wasn't a page. It was just on her profile, and it was an album called Fatties.
Right. No, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's my point. Of course you're going to get fired for that. That's stupidity. Your friend is stupid. I'm sorry.
And I'm sure you signed a waiver before you even got the job saying, hey, you won't do anything, you know, that's going to make the company look bad on you.
Right, of course.
Social media page.
Which is bullshit.
What?
Why is my social media page relevant to the company?
Because you're a representation of the company. You don't understand how that works?
If I'm a representation of the company, they've made a grave error.
It's just like anything I say on this podcast, just like, you know, Steve Schleeman, the present CEO of Carrabba's, I think is a complete douchebag.
Okay.
But am I gonna put that on my Facebook page? I don't know.
No, but you just put it on
the podcast.
And you know what? And I will say it to his face, too, because, I mean, everybody in the company knows how I feel about this
guy. I can't wait to send this podcast to the CEO.
Let him, man. I don't care. There'll be a good lawsuit coming up. I love it.
On a much lighter note, it looks like thrill seekers will soon be running with the bulls when they're unleashed in several cities across the country.
Where?
The Pamplona-inspired Great Bull Run will begin an 8-state tour after a wild man versus beast event at a drag racing strip just south of Richmond.
Man versus beast.
Wow, I was actually thinking it would probably start in Texas.
Man versus beast is what you call Greg and his ex-girlfriends.
Hello. About five.
Yeah, Amanda. It was a beast.
About 5,000 people have already signed up for the inaugural bull run, despite the, of course, high risk of injury and or death.
Oh, yeah.
Quoting now, by participating in the run, you accept the risk that you might be trampled, gored, rammed, Hey. Or, or tossed in the air by a bull. You could get rammed or tossed by a bull. This sounds like a little bit like bestiality here. You could get bumped, jostled, tripped on, or trampled on by your fellow runners.
That's article was a competition to see how many adjectives you could put in.
Well, they have to cover them all.
Now, does it
you
say
said that I would get trampled. You didn't say I'd get a stubbed toe.
Now, is it saying that you're allowed to run and then throw marbles down behind you for the other people?
A banana peel?
Yes, I love it. Even with the harsh warning, about 50 people a day continue to sign up for the first run, with about 2,000 people already planning to take part in the second event, which is in Georgia. The group's co-founder and chief operating officer, Rob Dickens, told the Associated Press. Other bull runs are planned for, check this out, this is good news, Texas is in there. Yeah, buddy!
Where in Texas?
It doesn't say.
I don't know, but they better have longhorns involved. Those are real bulls, buddy.
Florida is in there.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
Florida,
yeah.
What city?
By it doesn't say.
We're going to have to go to the website. California, Minnesota, Illinois, and Pennsylvania are the other states that are participating in this.
We will be involved, ladies and gentlemen, in the one in Florida. At least one representation. I will start hitting the treadmill immediately, and I will start practicing my throwing out marbles.
Are you really going to do it? Seriously?
Hell yeah,
dude, when
it
comes to Florida, yeah, we're all doing it.
Yeah, we should.
It's
all
a mandatory thing.
Have you seen
the podcast?
I'm fat.
then you can have the marbles, because that will also trip up the bulls.
No, I'm just gonna hang back and run with the bulls, and I'll just blend right in.
According to this, though, it's gonna be fenced in courses that will be safer for runners than the narrow cobblestone streets of the Pamplona event that is made famous.
Wait, they're fenced in?
Yeah, fenced in courses.
Oh, so that's bad.
It's gonna be, well, no, it'll probably be fences that are just high enough that you can run and jump over them. You know what I mean? But it's not going to be on a cobblestone street like it is in Spain.
Yeah,
so
but
you
in
can
Spain,
slip around.
If you watch the videos in Spain, the whole advantage of them running down the street is if they can, they just cut down an alley and they're out of the way all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the fences will probably be about maybe 5-6 feet high so that you can still run as fast as you can. And if a bull comes up to you, you can jump on it. But here's the thing. To be honest, I am not doing this. Never in a million years. I'm totally joking when I say I'm participating in this.
No, I'm participating.
There's no way. Like, if you were in Spain, you would run with those things? Seriously?
Why not?
Now that I think about it, probably not.
Yeah, no way.
No, I want to do it. It's been one of my bucket list things. I would love to do it.
Boy.
Are you going to wear the white thing with the red scarf?
Yeah, exactly. I already said that. And then the little baggy pants that they have, hell yeah. But I'm going to make sure that I have like some kind of chastity belt of metal variety. That way I do not have a gore go up my buttle.
It'll be a bloody buttle.
Oh boy.
You guys remember the movie Animal House, right?
Loved it.
Oh my God.
Gotta love
classic.
The college shirt. I used to have that shirt forever.
Yeah.
It just says college.
Loved it.
Dude, that was Kevin Bacon's very first role in the
movie.
That's right.
Please, sir, may
I have another? Animal House made John Belushi a movie star, inspired countless other raunchy comedies like Porky's and Police Academy. Now we're just going to go down the list of some of the actors and see where they are now.
Okay.
And you tell me if you know what's up with them. John Belushi, of course, who played Bluto, Blutarski.
He is dead. In the ground.
He is deader than dead can be. Of course, him being in that movie sparked him to leave Saturday Night Live for a film career, and he starred in other movies such as Blues Brothers, which is also another classic. Mm-hmm. Gotta love Blues Brothers. How about Tom Hulce?
Yes, Tom Hulce. The last thing I remember seeing him in, he was the brother in Parenthood. That's kind of an older movie.
He also ended up playing Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
He did.
In Amadeus.
And he was great at that.
Amadeus, and he also did the voice of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, or Quasimodo in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's pretty much retired from acting. He's focusing on directing theater and producing. He's age 59, so he's still living and going strong.
All right.
How about Tim Matheson, the guy that played Otter?
He was on an episode of Burn Notice I saw, and he was also, he's done little things. He was in Van Wilder. He played Van Wilder's dad.
Huh. Yeah, very good. Yeah. He was in numerous TV and film roles after that. In 2002, he was in college comedy Van Wilder. He's now 65, and he played the father of the title character, who was inspired by his own character in Animal House.
Wow.
He was the dad of Van Wilder. Yeah.
Right.
Kevin Bacon, of course, we all know where he's at.
Sure.
He's the only one that has a real career.
Dude, when they interviewed him on the Actor Studio, he got paid $36,000 for his role in Animal House,
yeah,
and he blew it in 2 weeks.
Of course he did. He of course went on to star in Mystic River, X-Men First Class. He's 55 now. Karen Allen, who played Katie, the sexually frustrated girlfriend, No? Anybody? No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, she went on, she took on smaller film and TV roles. She also
she was in Scrooged.
She was in Raiders of the Lost Ark. She was in Scrooged. And then she, of
course. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She had, reprised her role of Raiders of the Lost Ark in the 2008 sequel, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And she did not look as good as she used to.
And she did not do a very good job in that
and
role.
And finally, Donald Sutherland, we all know, he is still kicking hard and doing all kinds of stuff.
Anybody remember his role in what was the fire movie with Robert De Niro?
Oh, Backdraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the crazy
burn.
I burned them. I burned them.
Yeah, yeah. Real quickly, before we go to another break, I just want to do a quick good news story. There's a blind couple that is going to get married. Why? Because their guide dogs fell in love.
Oh.
Yeah. Claire Johnson first met Mark Gaffey after their guide dogs immediately ran into each other.
They ran into each other.
They got stuck in each other.
While attending a 2-week training course for guide dogs, the dogs immediately fell in love. Claire made the first move and invited Mark out to coffee, and things went on from there. And now they're getting married.
No, this is how it really happened. They were walking, and they're like, "Oh, I hear another human being." And just close your eyes and imagine this with me. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, your dog is like moving around. Like you reach down, like, "What? Oh my God! I'm so sorry. My dog is doing. It's okay. She's in heat too." And all of a sudden, they get stuck. Well, they're stuck there for a few minutes. So guess what? You got to settle with idle conversation. So what are you into? Well, I read a lot of Braille. You know, I just finished the Harry Potter books in Braille. And then that's how they got together. They got stuck in a conversation, literally.
Hey, did you say that happened in New York?
It was in England.
It was in England.
Yeah. Everything's happening.
I know, and everything's in England.
We need to get some England followers.
But hey, hold on. I just thought that was an amazing story, Greg. Would you please tell it again?
Yeah, it was. Okay, so anyways, she's reading Harry Potter
in
Braille.
Hey, you know what movie? What movie was filmed in New York?
What movie?
Godzilla!
Godzilla!
Are you talking about me? Yeah, Godzilla!
Send back Florida. God damn.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into our ridiculous news. We'll be back with that and more here on the gaudy, awesome, amazing, maleficent, or whatever that word is.
What?
Kings of the Podcast.
Dog humping Kings of the Podcast.
We'll be back.
God help me.
Condom break? Too drunk to remember to put one on? Too small to find one that ever fits you? Well, now your girlfriend is pregnant and you are strapped for cash. No need to worry. We got you covered. Come on down to Stairway to Heaven Affordable Abortion Clinic. Just listen to these fine testimonials from past customers.
I'm so glad I found Stairway to Heaven's Affordable Abortion Clinic. The last time my girlfriend got pregnant, I had to hit her in the stomach with a 2x4.
Unfortunately, I had never heard of Stairway to Heaven Abortion Clinic. I left my first child in the dumpster at prom.
I'm on my 7th abortion, and with Stairway to Heaven's rewards program, my next abortion's free.
Let's take a look inside Stairway to Heaven's Affordable Abortion Clinic state-of-the-art facilities.
Wow, Doc, this sure is a tall staircase.
That's our patented 100-step program. It's a long way up, but a quick way down. Another satisfied customer. Come on down to Stairway to Heaven Affordable Abortion Clinic. You knock them up, we'll knock them down.
Hey, Doc, can you put the placenta in the bag for the dog?
Kings of the Podcastle, here we are, Stairway to Heaven Abortion Clinic.
Whoa.
Whoa. That was one of our very first our
commercials
that we ever did.
I remember it took us like close to 45 minutes to do it because we could not stop laughing every five minutes.
My God. Welcome back to episode 26. We are back. Of course, King Mike here, your gracious host. King Zach is, of course, at the controls. We got King Greg over there and King John. We're all four here. King Devin, of course, is taking another day off. He had some things he had to tie up before the work week came around.
Like his girlfriend.
make sure that you check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod for your Android, the podcast app for your iPhone. And, of course, you can always check out everything that we have to offer at kingsofthepodcastle.com.
Free!
It is time now
to make up for the rest of the episode.
It is time now to move into the ridiculous news segment. We always do this at the last 20 minutes. The first part that we're going to talk a little bit of pop culture. Kesha is now claiming, you know who Kesha is, right?
I have no idea who Kesha is. Okay. No, I swear to God, I don't know.
You really don't know?
She's
no.
a an R&B.
I listen to real music, okay?
Yeah, okay. Well, she's an R&B, hip-hop, well, not really. More of a pop artist.
Yeah.
Pop artist, yeah. But she...
I'll pull it up.
Oh, boy, here we go. Here comes some Kesha. You're going to love this.
I'm so excited for this.
Kesha is awesome. I love Kesha, and she is a wacky, weird woman, and I don't know why, but I totally would do her.
If you don't know something, if you don't know this song, then I've got nothing for you.
What is the blah blah blah? That's my favorite one.
Wake up in the morning.
Oh God, yes.
Oh,
this
yeah.
one, this one is unbelievably.
You really don't know this.
You've never heard this. I don't listen to this kind of garbage.
What about this?
I'd rather stick broken shards of glass up my ass. No, I don't know any of this.
Make it stop.
Basically, Kesha is like the out in the open slut of the pop world.
Okay.
Like that song, Blah Blah Blah, yeah. is Quit Talking and Take Me Home and Do Me. Yeah, it's
she's awesome.
Been.
I love
yeah.
her.
That's why I love her so much. Yeah, but anyway, she is now claiming she says crazy things all the time, but some of them may be true, and all of them are shameless stabs for attention. The latest thing that she has said now is that she was born with a tail.
Really?
Born with a tail.
I want to see it.
That yep. actually happens.
And I know, it does actually
I
happen.
I want to see it.
For real, an actual piece of bone that was sticking out of her back, you know, like a real tail. She told HeatWorld.com in an interview, quote, "I had a tail when I was born. It was a tiny tail, about a quarter of an inch. Then they chopped it off and stole my tail."
Hey, you know who has a really big tail?
Who's that?
Godzilla!
Unbelievable. Anyways, she's saying she was born with a tail. They took it away, and she's actually very sad about it.
I told her.
Well, then maybe
that.
She can car accident, and then she'll have a piece of the steering wheel sticking out her ass, and that'll be her new tail.
Jesus, man.
What? I can't stand stupid people.
Well, I think it would
I
be
see
fun
a
to
picture of it.
What about having sex doggy style with a girl
yeah,
with a tail?
Well, that'd be weird.
Well,
you have to live
well, dude, I actually had a dream about it. After watching Avatar, I had a dream about it, and I was just like, well, I guess you just kind of pull it out of the way.
Or.
And you could actually use it instead of pulling her hair. Well, I would have the ponytail with the Avatar and the tail pulling them at the same time.
Or what if you were having sex missionary style,
mm-hmm.
and like she was enjoying it, so her tail would wag, and it would... It would tickle your butthole.
Unbelievable.
No, it's believable.
Now, you're going to love this one, Johnny. Okay. You're going to love this
Let's
one.
Let's go.
oh, God.
Science is at it again. Psychologists have just found the first ever documented case of, now, I don't know how the pronunciation of this is. It's the first documented case of eproctophilia.
I may okay. break the sound effect machine with this.
Eproctophilia. Okay. Do you want to take a guess as to what this is?
Eproctophilia.
Eproctophilia,
well,
yeah.
It has something to do with your colon, I'm guessing.
Okay, good. Good man.
Okay. That's all.
That's all you got? Okay.
And philia, it's like you're, there's a fetish for it or something.
Yes, wow. Yeah, very good, hear? Very good.
Colon fetish.
Yeah, you're good.
Anal this, sex?
Eproctophilia is when a person is turned on by the sound and smell of flatulence.
What? Really?
Gross.
Ooh, what did you eat?
Yeah. That's exactly what... Yeah, yeah, somebody just, you know, lets one go. And you're like,
sounds
oh
sounds like a motorboat.
did you eat at Golden Corral?
Ooh, you had garlic for lunch.
Wow. I just got you after Thanksgiving feast.
Do I smell Doritos?
Anyways, this psychologist's name, Mark Griffiths, he's from Nottingham Trent University.
Of course,
in England.
Yeah,
of course,
God.
Yeah. Griffiths found the first known person with eproctophilia, and he's right here in the U.S. He's a 22-year-old who was only identified as Brad living in Illinois. Uh-huh. Griffiths says that Brad shined a lot of insight into eproctophilia.
Because it's dark in there.
He's not sexually attracted to flatulence, but just the person releasing it. So, like, if you fart, he might still go, "Oh, that's weird."
That's,
but wow. I want to do you.
Yeah,
like that's. Can you do that again? Please?
I wonder if he like gets a magnifying glass and makes his girlfriend take her pants off and part her butt cheeks and then fart, so he could look at her butthole.
God.
up close.
No.
Have you done that? That is
way too far.
No. This also makes Brad having bisexual tendencies because the first time he got turned on was when he was 16 and a male friend broke wind in front of him.
And then he got a boner.
He got it. Yeah, totally went straight to it. He says, and Brad says, quote, "At first I didn't want to admit it. I was into farting. I set up a bet and intentionally lost, with the wager being the right to fart in the loser's face for a week."
God. So,
my God,
gross.
So wait a minute.
When he watched South Park, his favorite thing was Terrence and Phillip.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just farting. It's not poop and
everything
else.
No, just the farting.
So he doesn't jack off with lubing with feces.
No. You've got to actually release some gas.
He said that I continued
to lose such bets once every few weeks for about 2 years. He would go out and say, "Hey, man, you want to make a bet?"
And he would lose them on purpose.
Yeah. Lose them on purpose so that the guy that he lost to would fart in his face for a week.
So we just got only the name Brad. We don't have a full name. We can look this guy
up. I bet you a lot of money that the Cleveland Browns are going to beat the New England Patriots by 50 points.
Right. Yes, exactly. Brad just got his degree, and check this out, fine art. He's an actor, ladies and gentlemen, and continues to have
fine farts or fine arts.
And continues to have, quote, "recurring intense sexual urges and fantasies involving flatulence." There you have it.
Wow.
Dude, if you were to be on stage with that guy or in the dressing room, I would hold mine in until he walked out and be like,
"Oh man,
all right, I'm going outside, and there better be a strong gale force wind to carry this away."
So maybe if acting
to come after me.
If acting doesn't work out, he can go work for like a bean company or something.
No.
You know?
John, what is wrong with you today?
All right, moving on. Here's another one that you're going to love. There's a new one. There's a 45-year-old guy in Toronto with a rare condition called synesthesia.
What? Uh-huh.
Synesthesia, from having a stroke 6 years ago. With synesthesia, one stimulation triggers another unrelated area of your brain. So for this guy, every time that he hears the James Bond theme, he has an orgasm.
No. Come on. No,
that's
no.
That's kind of cool, actually.
No, I want you to go. The James Bond theme music is, you know, it's fantastic, but this guy has had this problem for, let's see, since 2007 is how long he's had it. So
okay,
for the last
so,
6 years.
Wow.
Every time he hears the James Bond music, he feels erotic pleasure and an orgasm, and it happens with other music that has high-pitched brass instruments as well. And when he sees any words written or printed in light blue, it makes him nauseous.
Really? So he can't watch the Lawrence Welk show?
I guess not. No. Neuroscientists in Toronto are working with the guy to get more insight into it. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Oh fuck yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
You bastard.
Oh my god.
Okay, hold on.
Somebody put something in my asshole.
Here it comes.
Oh
here
god.
Here it is.
Yes.
Oh no.
007.
Off
you
the pussy.
Mother.
Off the pussy. Jaws.
Die another day.
Well, Brad, I hope it was as good for you as it was for us.
Live and let die.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get back to some...
Oh, can you put that gold finger in my rectum?
Can I paint his shoe gold?
Let's see. A guy trying to rob a gun store had a very bad luck when he pulled out a bat. Derek Mosley walked into a discount gun sales on Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. This happened out in Beaverton, Oregon, around 4 p.m. Thursday, with a bat in the hand and smashed at a display case. But they say when the Mosley tried to steal the gun, the store manager simply pulled out his own personal firearm and pointed it straight at the would-be robber, and then yelled for him to drop his gun, held him there for 20 minutes until authorities could arrive.
What? Well, a gigantic dumbass.
Yeah, you don't bring a baseball bat to a gunfight.
Well, you don't bring fist to one either. We just learned that from a certain trial that happened here in Florida.
You know what was going through his head when he walked in the store, right?
What's that?
Wait for it.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Doctor No. Yes.
Doctor No. No.
Oh. Moonraker! Moonraker!
Oh. Holy moly, holy moly.
Goldeneye. Oh, God.
Right in her Goldeneye. All right. In Farmington. I'm not even sure where Farmington is. A man who walked around downtown with a toy gun that appeared real was charged with terrorizing the community on Thursday night. His name was John Cushman. He was 20 years old. Walking around downtown with a fake gun tucked in his shorts. Store owners and shop owners saw the gun, called the police. They were trapping people inside. They actually asked for police officers who arrived to investigate. They asked them to stand in front of their stores because patrons were trying to leave, but this man was walking around wildly in the streets with what they appeared to be a gun. He said that Cushman was charged for terrorizing. The cops said that Cushman was charged with terrorizing because his actions scared people and caused them to secure themselves inside of a building. The officers actually went up to him, asked him about it. He pulled the gun out, showed him the orange tip, and then he tried to act like nothing was wrong. Tried to act like nothing was wrong. There was the orange
another
tip.
Another
giant dumbass. You don't walk, especially these days, you can't walk around in public with a toy gun that looks real.
Those last two.
What if he was acting out a certain fantasy of a certain awesome, like,
great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Don't tease me like that. Oh, yeah.
Money Penny, yes. Ooh. Let me put it in your money penny.
Roger, more Roger, more. Yes. Roger, more Roger.
James Lazenby.
Oh, my God. A 66-year-old Florida woman was crushed by a homemade elevator when she went to visit her friend's Gulf Coast home earlier this week.
Oh, no.
Margaret Elizabeth Harrison went to Jean Blair's home on Tuesday morning at 7:30 a.m. The Hernando County Sheriff's Office has reported. Blair has a motorized wheelchair and uses a homemade elevator to get around her three-story house.
Homemade.
On Tuesday, Blair rode the elevator from the third floor to the living room area on the second floor. Then she sent the elevator to the first floor for Harrison to use, is what is being reported. When Harrison hadn't arrived by 9 a.m., Blair called Harrison's boyfriend, who drove to the house and saw Harrison's car in the driveway. When he got in the house, he turned on the elevator's power to raise it and saw Harrison was underneath.
Oh, no.
Fire rescue pronounced Harrison dead at the scene.
Her moth box is a squeeze box.
And Hernando County is really close to here, too.
Let's see. Finally, we're going to wrap up the show on this one right here. Trailer parks. You remember trailer parks?
Yes. John,
I live in one.
Yeah, that's why we're going to bring this up. Tiny homes, which is in Portland, are sometimes designated by their official name accessory dwelling units.
What?
Are all the rage.
Really?
Accessory dwelling units. Yeah.
John, that's what
I'm
going to
call it from now on.
Postcards in residents' mailboxes advertise the benefits of building tiny homes and tout the city's current love affair with these small buildings because they create density in the city rather than sprawl on its outskirts. So no surprise that Portland is the first official U.S. tiny house hotel, a circle of three tiny homes smack in the heart of the city's Alberta district called The Caravan. This trio of tiny homes can accommodate a maximum of 10 guests. So if you're ever in the Portland area, be sure to go by and check out the Tiny Home Trailer Hotel.
How about that?
Yeah, with that said, bringing that up is because you just moved out last week. And that's why, finally, we're going to say why we didn't do a show last week. We did a best of.
Right.
Helping you move out.
And
right?
Thank you, guys.
Of
very,
course.
Very
absolutely,
much.
Absolutely. So you are living now in a trailer park, right?
I am.
How is that?
It's really nice. It's a nice trailer park. The neighbors are great. There's a on-property fix-it guy that runs around on a golf cart, and I'm in touch with him all the time for stuff or whatever. Right. There's a property manager, and everything is within walking distance. There's a little community pool.
Right. Is it like the trailer park in The Last Starfighter?
It's a lot like that. Yeah. Except
I've
there's
seniors.
No video game.
I've seen yours. My dad used to live in a double wide, so I'm totally familiar with them.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what it's like. But yeah, yours actually isn't that bad.
It's
actually
very
a nice little home.
Yeah. And there's a pond that you're allowed to go fishing in. It's a throwback type fish. But you're allowed to take your boat out there and go fishing.
The weird thing is, though, we were helping to move in, and from the neighbor's house, we kept hearing this weird music. And it was...
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Here it is.
Oh, no.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh.
All right, God. I think that bitch played out now.
No, my God. Jesus. I'm running out of James Bond references. Her Majesty's Secret Service. Her Majesty's Secret Service.
With the trailer park story in mind, did you have one more thing you wanted
to say? Well, I just wanted to say, you know who you don't want around when you do live in a trailer park?
Who?
Godzilla! 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 Godzilla!
more trailer park, you'll go back to Florida.
I love it.
Okay, with the with the trailer park in mind, Zach and I got you this shirt while we were in Key West.
Wow.
I have been waiting for us to do our next podcast so we could give it to you.
Okay.
So check it out. It's a t-shirt here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, for you, John. You have to read it to the audience.
Okay, mess with me, you mess with the whole trailer park, Key West. Awesome. I am going to wear that around the neighborhood.
Yeah, and it's got a great big picture of a trailer home
I
on
love
it there.
It. Thanks, guys.
You need to wear just that and tidy whities and nothing else.
Yes. Yeah, and a can of beer on the front porch.
And, yeah. make sure that the cops film crew is there to film you.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for episode 26. We're back. Join us next week when we'll be doing episode 27, yet to be named.
That's what we're going to call it now.
All right, yeah, there you have it. Of course, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher. Go to Beyond Pod on your Android. Tell all your friends about us that they can download us on podcast. And go to kingsofthepodcastle.com to see all of our content that we offer. And, of course, there is the Facebook page, facebook.com/kingsofthepodcastle. Please go there. We always post something every week asking for feedback, asking for things, topics that you'd like us to talk about. So check us out there. And have a great week. Of course, we need to thank our sponsors, audiohog.com. Check them out. Hog Entertainment LLC, which you can check out at audiohog.com. Audiohog.com. Thanks to them. Entertainment Technology for the Hospitality Injury. Holy moly. For the Hospitality Injury.
They're not going to pay us anymore.
I know. No kidding. Entertainment Technology for the Hospitality Industry.
Love
Thank
that.
You very
you
much.
Go.
All right. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'm going to touch myself to Timothy Dalton.
Show me your boobs.
I say that same thing when I can't get it up with a woman.
And you don't look metrosexual. She might have had a little hang down the monkey.
That takes applying lipstick to a whole new level.
Hey, oh, that must be why you like it from behind all the time.
Well, we can have some private time. My mom's out of the house.
Jabbing a sausage in your mouth. No, what's a fap?
Well, I hope it was doggy style, sweetheart. Clean out your vag from all that sand you got in there, because I really don't give a rat's ass.
Is that like one guy, one horse? I moved out of mom's house. I'm going to get a butterfly on my backside. It looks like the gay communist China singing at the song.
You have to grab some and sniff it.
Ye vagina is wetteth.
Only if you show me your tits.
Change your own tire next time, bitch.
And she had no words. It was just like, I was just like, what? And she's like, but it was like, is that a guy? I was like, okay.
I have a little vagina.
God. This really fine bean that they grow.
Uh-huh.
And
it's
then
a dookie bean.
What?
I'm getting pissed.
Now listen here, honey. When you guys are done watching your SpongeBob, I want you to go ahead and take the knife that Mama sent to you and plunge it into Grandma and Grandpa's heart and fucking kill them.
I got one thing to say about that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, that's all I gotta say about that.
Do you guys prefer a male or a female?
Female.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually would rather have an old man.
Please don't do this at home because, I mean, unless you're underage and you're listening to our show.
No, 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 no.